And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelite born shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. Why so often? When I say so often, I mean yearly. Every year we go to the Feast of Tabernacle and appear before our God. Why do we do that? It's repetitive. When we do something repetitive, time after time, then we get familiar with the Festival of Tabernacle and what it represents. How many times have we admired people in the sports industry? Say, for example, the individual that makes the three-point play in a basketball game. He does that because he has done that repeatedly. Time after time, he has done that. And he's comfortable in doing that. So why we do it so often is because God commanded us to do it. Every year we do it. And why only 7 days? We keep it for 7 days, one, because of the instruction of God. And the second is to emphasize that it's temporary. We are going to the feast temporarily. Now, you wouldn't think that when you see some people packing for the feast. They pack as if they're going to stay a little longer, a month or so. But the 7 days tell us that this festival of God is temporary. Like most of the things that are dealing with us as human beings are temporary. Today, ladies and gentlemen, let me present 5 permanent lessons that I've learned about the Feast of Tabernacle. First of all, it is a mini millennium. It is a sampler. So sometime if you're walking through a grocery store and they're advertising a new product, they will have someone dispensing a sample of that product that you may taste it and see if you like it. The millennium is a sample, the Feast of Tabernacle is a sample of the millennium. Our first point I'd like to bring across is our temporary dwelling reminds us of our temporary existence. Our temporary existence as a human being. Come with me, please, to the Psalms, the 90th chapter. We're going to look at verse 10 to 15. The Psalm, the 90th chapter, verses 10 to 15. The days of our lives are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. To teach us to number our days, that we may apply our heart unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servant, or satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. First, let us move over to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. We're going to check in at verse 49. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49 to 53. Verse 15, verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trump, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Our goal as followers of Jesus Christ is to become a permanent part of God's way of life, a permanent part of God's kingdom. Many times when we apply for a new job and we are hired by that individual that owned that company, they have a trial period. Example, when I joined the post office, they hired me not as a full-time employee at first, but as a temporary employee to see how things would work. And as time went on and you accomplished several tests in there, then you moved up to the permanent part. We as Christians are not permanent in our status that we are now. We are temporary, but we desire to be permanent. We desire to make God's law, God's government, our way of life. This is our goal. This is our aim. And in doing so, we follow the example that God has set for his people. My second point for this afternoon is our temporary dwelling reminds us that we have a limited time to serve God. We do not have an indefinite period of time to serve God. It's a limited time. Come with me, please, to John 9th chapter. The book of John, the 9th chapter. And we're going to check in at verse 4 and 5. John 9, verse 4 and 5. Christ is saying here, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. As we have but a limited time in the human life to serve God, simply because of our existence, we try to do it in the best manner that we can. Let's look at verse in the book of John, chapter 14. Book of John, chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. Verse 16. God does not only want us to be a part of his kingdom. God does not just desire that all mankind be saved, but God will help us. He will give us help to be a part of his kingdom. Chapter 14 in John, verse 16. Jesus saying, I will pray to Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither know him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let's look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and brings all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said. So our temporary dwelling reminds us that the time to serve God in the human flesh is limited. The third point I'd like to point out this afternoon is our temporary dwelling reminds us that God dwells just so long in this temporary tent. This body that we have, God's spirit just dwells so long in this temporary tent. Come with me, please, to Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 14 to 20. Romans, the 8th chapter. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, and we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope." Our temporary remind us that there is a limited time that we in this body, with the help of the Holy Spirit, serve God. Come with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's check in at verse 41. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 41. It says, "There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star different from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body." Our temporary dwelling reminds us that God dwells just so long in this our temporary tabernacle, which is our body. Our scientists today who have sent out many probes into space, they tell us, if we can believe them, that the universe, this universe where we are a part of, is some 14 billion years old. 14 billion. They tell us that the solar system that we are a part of is some 4 billion years old. And yet, to the best of our understanding, God has been dealing with mankind with some 6,000 years. 6,000 years is a small amount of time in comparison to the length of time that the universe and this solar system has been in existence. But as I said, our desire and our Father's desire is that we be a part of his government. We be a part of what he is doing. And by doing that, he is teaching us how we as individuals can be a part of what he is doing. He's not only teaching us, but he is helping us to be able to become part of what he is doing in the broader scheme of things. Our temporary dwelling on this place even remind us that during the millennium, when Christ comes back to set up his government, as he has said on this earth, when there will be not multiple ideas thrown around from one government to another one, and having people to choose, but God will choose the government. The government will be headed by Jesus Christ. We will not have what we see today in the different governments across this land, even in this country. People campaigning, running for this office, campaigning, running for that office, by putting themselves up, they put somebody else down, said this person's not qualified or that person not qualified. Since God began to work with human beings, he has been choosing people. He has been choosing people for different offices in his government. From Abraham, all of these people that we can name from the Old Testament, David, the 12 apostles, they are all candidates that God has chosen, that God is training. They don't have to go out and advertise that I'm good for this office. I got the experience, I can work in this office. God has already chose those people. God has already trained those people. And when God set up his government on this earth, under the auspices of Jesus Christ as King of Kings, these people, even the saints today, these people are the ones that will be automatically put in office by Christ under whatever administration we can serve Christ. And whatever administration, maybe Abraham serving, or Noah serving, or David. In the scripture, as we read the Bible, he tells us about certain offices that are already delegated to certain people. In the Old Testament, he tells us that David is going to be king over Israel. He's going to be king over all of the 12 tribes of Israel. That office is already taken. Christ, when he was on this earth, he told his disciple that they will be over each one of the tribes of Israel. Whatever tribe that Christ select for him to be over, he will be over that tribe. Not by campaigning, but by selecting of Christ. Christ has selected them. Paul will have his office. And others down through the ages that we don't know by name now, they will have their office. And Christ told those that are following him, he says that I go to prepare a place for you. He is preparing a place. There is a place for you. There's a place for you. And Christ is preparing that. And when you set up his government, you don't have to campaign. You don't have to fill out an application as to see which one of you're able to fill. He has that already made out for you. He is training you now. He has trained those in the past for the office that Christ decided that they would be in. I am going to prepare a place for you. When I prepare this place for you, when this place is prepared for you, I will come and I will receive you to myself. On the fourth point, temporary dwelling, even remind us that even during the millennium, see, we're living in this present age right now, but there is coming a time we call the millennium. And the millennium, when Christ is set up, the millennium is temporary. The millennium is not going to last forever. We are striving, we are hoping to be part of a government that's going to last forever. Come with me, please, to Revelation, the 20th chapter. Revelation, the 20th chapter. Let's look at verse 6 and 8. Verse 6, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's temporary, not forever, 1,000 years. And when that 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog, Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number of them is as the sand of the sea. When Christ comes, when he set up his government, that government is temporary, just like we are temporary. The fifth point I'd like to bring out this afternoon is our temporary dwelling reminds us that even this earth, the earth that we live on, our parents have lived on, our grandfathers and grandmothers have lived on, is temporary. Come with me, please, to Revelation, the 21st chapter. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is thirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and adulterers, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plague, and talked with me, saying, Come, hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. After the millennium, then the government of God will take over. Come with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to check in at verse 7 to 10. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the work that are therein shall be burned up. The earth, as mentioned in Revelation, the 21st chapter, there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. And God is going to create this new earth and a new heaven. Come with me, please, to Daniel, the 7th chapter. Ezekiel, Daniel, the 7th chapter. Daniel, the 7th chapter. We're going to look at verse 27. Daniel 7, verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. As we listen this afternoon, of the five lessons I have learned from the feast that I have attended. The first one, our temporary dwelling reminds us of our temporary existence, the Feast of Tabernacle. We are there for only 7 days. It's temporary. It reminds us of our human beings' temporary existence. My second lesson that I've learned and I'd like to share with you this evening is our temporary dwelling reminds us that we have a limited time to serve God. As I read in the book of John, that Christ says, I had another scripture here that I wanted to read. It's John, fifth chapter. John, the fifth chapter. We're going to look at verse 17. John, the fifth chapter, verse 17. In this verse, Christ is making the statement and said, my Father works and I work. They are working on their kingdom, which is to come, and we are to be a part of that. We want to be a part of that kingdom. God wants us to be a part of that kingdom. The third point, lesson that I've learned that I'd like to share this afternoon is our temporary dwelling reminds us that God dwells just so long in this human temporary tent. When God makes his tabernacle with us, it will be a permanent fixture. It won't be temporary. It's like the situation, as I mentioned about my job, when I was hired, first it was temporary, then after a period of time, I passed your test, it was permanent. When God set up his kingdom on this earth, and we as human beings be a part of God's kingdom, it would be permanent. It won't be temporary. Our temporary dwelling on this earth, the fourth point, might remind us that even the millennium, when Christ comes back and put down all the human government that we see around us, and he takes over the control of this world, it's going to be temporary. Many people have felt that when Christ comes back, it will take a period of time. It's not going to be an overnight overthrow of the government. It will take time. He will be working with this nation. He will be working with that nation. He will be working with the nation over here. All the nations that come forward and be a part of God's government will be under his rule. I've heard from some of the evangelists of the worldwide days that it may take 40 or 50 years before the whole world is brought in under the umbrella of the government of God. It's not going to be done just like boom, it's done. We read about events that are happening in the Middle East, about wars taking place, the people being hired to find skeletons and what's left of the war. And there'll be many things that's taking place. But when he comes back, he will start from the beginning. He will start with Israel. And from Israel, it will spread out to the whole world. The fifth lesson I'd like to share with you this evening is temporary dwelling reminds us that even this earth is temporary. As we read in Revelation, the 21st chapter, God is going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Let us read that again, please. The 21st chapter, Revelation, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there were no more sea. So when Christ come back and establish his government on this earth and appoint the people that he have trained over the years, not just in our age, but in ages before, in the 1800s, the 1700s, during the time of the Apostle Paul, all of those who were in training for God's government, God is going to give them that place that Christ has been preparing for them. As it said, from the foundation of the earth, he has prepared a place for these people to administer his government on this earth.